Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your day. Thank you for your saving grace, Lord. Lord, we pray especially for the people in North Carolina, South Carolina, and those areas affected by right now by Hurricane Florence. Lord, we pray for your mercy, Lord, and that you protect those individuals out there, Lord, and anything that happens there be your will. We understand that, Lord, but we pray for those first responders and those people that are in this harmless way, that it, if it be your will, that they come through unscathed and that they have minimum damage. We pray for our county here, Lord, and those individuals that have experienced your bounty with rain, Lord. We thank you for the rain, and Lord, you know that some people are adversely affected by that. We accept that as your will as well. Be with us tonight as we come and do the workshop here, the work of the county, Lord, and shall anything that we do glorify you. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, welcome everybody. This is a few people I've seen here in a long time. What I'd like to add, if it's okay with the board, I'd like to add one more thing at the end, if we're not running too awful late. And I want to discuss bid packages at the end. And number one, the board to discuss the animal control ordinance regarding dangerous, aggressive dogs.
Should I say what I have done, or do I need background?
Give us your name and address.
My name is Stoney Anderson. I live on 3735 Woods Road. It's kind of in the Old Dixie Highway. I own the trailer park that's there. It used to be across the railroad tracks.
Okay.
And just quickly, in a nutshell, what happened? A neighbor's dog came onto my property, attacked my dog, and the fight spilled back across the property line, so it went off the property. So animal control deemed my dogs as aggressive, so I elected to do the hearing. And the judge at the hearing read the ordinance and suggested that I go to my county commissioners and have it modified, because there's no wiggle room. There's no wiggle room when my dogs were provoked. And when I read the ordinance, you have about provoked for a human, but you don't have provoked in there for another animal. And my dogs are extremely friendly, but you know, anything can be provoked. So I would just like to have that verbiage added to the for animals that you have for humans. So that's all I'm here to try to do.
Okay, which ordinance is it now before us that would be applicable to this?
I would say to use the codified ordinances. It says chapter 14, animals. So not one of the ordinances really. If you'll look at the codified version, and on the first and second pages are where the definitions are. I think, Mr. Anderson, that's what you were. So on the first page, under aggressive dog, was it number two, Mr. Anderson?
Well, number two, it has the verbiage that I'm looking for. I would like to see that verbiage added to number one. You see, it says unprovoked. Yeah. So basically, number two says, if a man walks up and kicks my dog and my dog bites him, then the dog is not aggressive because it was provoked.
Okay, so on the next page, under the definition of dangerous dog, is where Mr. Anderson is asking to add the verbiage that's under.
Well, I'd like it on both places, because according to animal control, aggressive and dangerous is two separate things.
Okay. Correct. Because the difference between deeming a dog aggressive and dangerous has totally different ramifications.
And the judge of the hearing just said that there, you see, he goes, I have no choice but to deem him as aggressive. But when the other person got up and admitted that their dog provoked mine, then animal control backed down and kind of dropped the charges, and we settled everything. So it worked out okay for me this time, but I don't want to see something like this possibly happen in the future. And if I'm having a problem, maybe somebody else is having a problem as well.
What's the difference between an aggressive dog and a dangerous dog?
An aggressive dog basically is a dog who threatens.
I know what aggressive means, but I just don't know the difference between dogs.
Yes, ma'am. And so when a dog is deemed aggressive, it normally means that the dog acts in a threatening manner and could be considered, I don't want to say dangerous, but it's basically stating that the dog has aggressive tendencies. A dangerous dog has totally different outcomes. When a dog is deemed dangerous, they have to be kept in a certain type of area. They have to be kept under direct control all the time. I'm doing this from memory.
They're declared dangerous.
Right.
Process.
Correct. And if the owners are unable to meet the mandates of having a dangerous dog, the dog must be euthanized.
But if a dog was aggressive, say I was walking down the street and I was attacked by a dog, I would consider that an aggressive dog than a dangerous dog.
That's still your process.
So, I mean, it seems like to me it would be hard to differentiate, but it's not.
It's very specific.
If I may, aggressive has the definition here, and dangerous has basically the same definition, except it says more than once.
Well, and also, Madam Chair, also aggressive is chased you, dangerous attacked and bit you.
Right.
I mean, there are differences.
Menacing versus inflicting damage or killing another animal. Killing livestock, killing other animals, attacking humans, things like that.
Okay.
And in all the situations, the leash law always pertains. But this is in addition to any type of issue with the leash law. Was that your experience?
I didn't have a problem with that. Mine were on leashes. But like I said, I was on my property and the other animal came onto my property in the fight. Where my problem started is when the fight spilled back across the property line. So now since, I have two large German Shepherds. So since my dog injured the other dog off of my property, that's when animal control got involved and they tried to deem my dogs as aggressive. And the judge said, I have no choice the way this is written. There's no stipulation for extenuating circumstances.
So what you're trying to add, if I may, is that what he wants to add is that when an animal is provoked by another animal,
it's not considered dangerous.
Right.
That's all.
And how do y'all feel about that?
I don't know.
And the people at animal control, have you got their input on this?
I thought they would be here. I apologize.
I mean, it seems like to me that his request is reasonable, but I'm just asking, are there other opinions, especially from animal control? Have y'all even, y'all discussed this with animal control? Ted?
Not fully.
Right.
We discussed it here.
And what did they say?
They're happy with the order special.
Huh?
They're happy with the way the order stands.
So, I'm sure essentially the issue is from what the judge told you. Is this county judge or hearing judge?
No, this is Mr.
Curtis.
Yeah.
That
the only option he had was to deem him aggressive. There was no other choice. He could not take, yes, he could not take into consideration any other circumstances the way it was written, because dog A hurt dog B off of dog A's property, boom, they're automatically aggressive. It didn't matter what dog B did to dog A, you know? It didn't matter that the other dog started the fight.
Circumstances of the fight didn't matter.
Yeah, they couldn't take that into consideration.
Yeah, well, I take your side. I mean, whether it's a human or another animal that, you know, that instigates it, what difference does, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It should be where that, whichever way it occurs, that
and
that can be evaluated.
And to let you know, to try to keep trouble down, I put up over 400 feet of fence at $1,200. I have a 6-foot, 30-foot square pen that I keep my dogs in when I go. I treat these dogs better than most people treat their kids. God, baby them. And I just don't want to see some possible extreme or other situation happen, because I have a trailer park and people come here all the time and pick up trucks and pit bulls in the back, and somebody's dog could jump out of their truck and attack my dog. And you know, I just want to have a fair way out.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, I've just heard, you know, his story today, and from what he's saying, it seems like it should be changed. But that's just, you know, like I say, this is the first time I've heard about it. I've heard one side of the story.
I can say this, that was to Mr. Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He taped the hearing, so he has all this on tape. And like I said, when the owner of the other dog admitted their dog provoked my dog, that's when Animal Control backed down and we worked everything out.
But until that point, you didn't have any...
Yeah, if Animal Control did not back down, there would have been no choice. They would have been deemed aggressive. And that's just not true. But I mean, there's no common sense definition these dogs are considered aggressive.
The only input that I received from Animal Control, if I may, is that their comment about changing the ordinance was that... that all dogs, pretty much, when they get in a pack mentality, if a dog gets around another aggressive dog, no matter who starts it, most dogs will bite. So I think that may have been the basis of the original wording in the ordinance, and that it would be very hard to be able to determine whose dog started a fight, because it's just a dog's nature. When challenged or provoked or another dog comes onto their property, it's more typical for a dog to act aggressively. No matter the size of the dog or the breed of the dog, that's just in a dog's makeup. So I think that was part of the original way the ordinance was worded that way, because it at the end of the day, I think it was just accepted, if you would, that dogs will fight. And the main thing is you have to, you know, you need to keep them away from each other and keep them under control with the leash.
Well,
but I understand
if their dog had never come on my property,
right,
then it would never
happen. Right, I understand.
I know Commissioner Gibbs wants to say something. I have one more thing to say. Animal Control Director or somebody should have been here tonight. It was the first thing on the list, number one, and it's an important issue, and I would expect when we've got something like this to have the people that they should have been here. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, I mean, I just think that, make sure that happens next time. Yes.
Now, you say you run a trailer park.
Yes.
And a trailer park is open to the public or to the people coming on there? If the people coming to your trailer park own the dog, he can't bring that dog on the park.
Well, I don't allow dogs in my trailer park.
You don't what?
I don't allow dogs in my trailer park. It's on the lease, no dogs. But people don't always listen. Like, visitors will come in, and the visitors will bring their dogs in. But these particular dogs that caused this all, they had nothing to do with it. They were somebody that lived down the street.
Or they were straight.
Yeah, they didn't.
Without lease or anything.
Yeah, no.
Did the judge declare them as aggressive as well before it backed down? Changed?
I don't believe so. I think when we come to that, we settled out of court, so to speak, is what I call it. Everything just kind of went away.
Until it happens again.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to avoid. I don't have to go through that again.
What, Commissioner Page, what he's saying, I don't know if you're familiar with the school, you are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
You just want some change in the ordinance.
Yeah, I would just like some verbiage added where there, if there's extenuating circumstances, they're not just being guilty only. The way it stands right now, there's no other choice. Guilty only is the only choice. And I just don't see how that can be right.
Let me ask you this. Could you write some language and we can give it to our attorney to see if he can make a fit in it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Or do you want him to make a stab at it?
Well, to me, you have the verbiage here already for a human. If you would just add that same verbiage for the animal, I'd be fine with it.
Okay. Can y'all remember that now, Carol Conrad?
And it would have to go through the regular ordinance process where there would be notice in a public hearing.
Notice in a public hearing.
Right.
You know, it won't happen tomorrow.
Okay.
Because we've got to give notice, got to give Conrad time to make the change, advertise it in the paper. And then come back and we'll have a public hearing, and then everybody can speak.
That's fine. I just, in my mind, just the way it is, you can have a situation where it's not fair, and I would just like to see it where it's fair, where you could take all information into consideration,
yeah,
where now you can't.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like this is a large thing for comment.
Madam Chair, to go further on page 4, unprovoked attack or bite means an attack or bite where the victim has been conducting himself peacefully and lawfully and has been bitten in a menacing fashion or attacked by an animal. So, back to the original point by Mr. Anderson, adding the caveat in there that himself and, include a dog on his own property, minding his own business.
Well, we appreciate you bringing this issue before us, and we have to go through the process, which takes a little while. We have to have public hearings and all that, but it's something that we'll move forward with.
Do I need to do anything else, or?
We'll have to tell Mr. Bishop your name. Start process
on. Do you need my phone number where he can call me if he wants to? Or do you
I think I mentioned
it. Lamont probably had it already. Okay, so
can we notify him and let him
get on the list?
The public hearing is so he can be here?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, Emily. Madam.
That's quite all
right. I understand.
Number two, the board should discuss the economic development ad valorem tax exemption ordinance. Just want to discuss it.
I think that. Did you place it on the agenda? Let me put you on the spot.
Well, yeah, we.
But I guess we're discussing maybe some criteria as we move forward. We have the vote. We're real pleased with the vote, 67% or whatever. So citizen support, continue giving these ad valorem exemptions. But I guess we need to discuss. Maybe, does the ordinance need tweaking? I mean, do we need to come up with some criteria moving forward to consider these applications?
Yeah, that's what we need to do. We were backing off the other night when we were, or the other day, whatever it was, that we were talking. And, you know, we all said that we felt like that it needed, the wording needed to be changed. And I'm not exactly sure how it needs to be changed, but we need to start talking about it. I know that the way it is now, that when new businesses come into town and they give us certain criteria, how many employees, or the impact it's going to have on us, then we can decide if we want to give that. And furthermore, local businesses can that are expanding and so forth can do the same thing. And I guess, you know, we just need to have it so we know exactly what the impact is going to be to us. We had our TCDA meeting today, and you were there, Tim.
Yeah, I was there.
There was quite a question even from the TCDA board about things, and we had one applicant, and when it was passed around, they had included stuff from 2 or 3 years ago.
How many?
From 2 or 3 years ago. But we need to, you know, make sure that it spells out exactly what we want it to say and what we're able to do.
Right. In the current ordinance, the process is initial application for an ad valorem exemption or whatever will go to the TCPA board first. They're supposed to do certain things. And I can, if you look at page 7, and I highlighted 9, some things they're supposed to do for us, pre-screening. The Taylor County Development Authority would, or his or her designee, shall review the application within 10 days of submission to determine whether the application has satisfied all the requirements of Section 7038. One at the meeting today we discussed had not met all the requirements. So even at their meeting, they had not pre-screened it correctly. Moving on down to number 2. As the TCA director shall prepare in writing a recommendation of the applicant's eligibility for exemption and shall prepare an economic impact of the application. The recommendation analysis shall be forwarded to the TCPA board of directors immediately upon completion. I didn't see a recommendation, but I read a recommendation in him, if I'm incorrect. Number 3. The TCA director shall, when this process shall determine the applicant is eligible for exemption and shall recommend the commission approval or denial. And then number 4, we discussed this at the meeting, is a property appraisal review. What kind of economic impact is it going to have to the citizen? It says, following seeing and careful review of the initial application, the property appraiser shall report the following information to the commission within 30 days. Total revenue available to the county for the current fiscal year from ad valorem sources, any revenue lost to the county, and an estimate of revenue which would be lost to the county during the current year if the exemption was granted. So we need to have that information from the TCDA. And then it will go back and when, number 5 on page 8, if you look at that, upon receipt of the property appraiser's report, the TCA director shall schedule the application at the next available commission meeting. So there is a process that needs to be followed before it even gets to this board.
Does this state, how far back that we will consider, like if somebody applies, does it go back to just the previous year, the previous 12 months, or 6 months, or?
I'm not 100% certain, but I think it's governed under the state statute.
Well, that needs to be specified.
It needs to be specified. Can I talk a little with you, Ms. Muffler?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you where I am now, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. This tax abatement was primarily passed, I think, by the people to attract new industries that would come into the community. And I think it needs to apply equally as well to industries that are expanding. Mm-hmm. And one of the criteria is the number of jobs that you create. But if it's an existing industry, we need to have a look back 1 year prior. Better still, if you're going to apply for this money, you need to apply before you expand. And that's in a perfect world.
Right.
I mean, how are you going to build your business model if you don't know what is, how much the tax abatement is going to get? Mm-hmm. So we need to put some put it back in on it. You can't go back 15 or 20 years and say, okay, for the last 15 years I've added 3 people, so I don't know what tax is in it. That shouldn't allow. We shouldn't allow that. Several people have talked to me about this, and they said it needs to be tweaked a little bit to head off some problems of people who say, I bought this old store, and I spent $50,000, and I'm going to put one person to work, so I'm going to go up there to that county commission and get a benefit for about 70% of my taxes. That's not what the people, I think, voted for when they voted for the tax abatement. Now, if you stay up front, I'm going to expand this business, and to make the business model work, I need a tax abatement. I'm going to add 2 jobs, and they're going to pay $15 an hour and benefits and so forth. Do it up front. Don't wait 5 years down the road and then come back up here. So how we accomplish that is what we got Conrad hired for. he's good with writing, putting the language in there.
It should be consented, I agree with you.
Okay. So, is that sort of, is that what you're driving for?
Yeah, and you know, we had a lot of discussion today because I had quite a few questions at the CCDA meeting, and a lot of things weren't clarified to me, but my concern was that, first of all, I want to say that I am pro-business. I want everybody to understand I am pro-business. But my concern was that if we did this, what would be the impact to the homeowner if we, because pretty soon you're going to see a lot of applications. And will this impact the homeowner so the millage would have to be raised? And then would that be fair to them? But they explained it today that if it's not a tax they've already been paying, okay? And then if we give them a tax abatement on taxes in the future that we not already have figured into our budget, it's something we've never had in the first place.
Right.
So we're going to get something out of it. And I think that cleared up my misunderstanding.
Yeah, and it is a plus for the county because they have to pay the school board tax.
Yeah, and so as long as we can clear up the wording and you know, make sure that everybody understands mm-hmm. that it would be for new taxes or expansion. And somebody gave the example today too that I think it was, well, I forget who it was, that just because somebody bought a brand new forklift and then they want to consider that, then no, that's not adding a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that, it's actually adding jobs. So, and you know, I said if we've already got this tax and we figured it into our budget, and then we go and we cut it, then that's going to leave us in worse shape than we've been. They said, no, that's not the way it's intended to be. So I'm okay with that.
And I'm happy to stay out of it, but we need to kind of stay out of retail. You know, the examples brought out today, we want to encourage Lowe's to come in that might hurt the local hardware stores. So you don't want to get into that.
You can't choose who you give it to. You know, like I said, you've got large companies. You know, you can't just say it's mom and pops. A hometown store, you know, GP, Cameron, the lumber mill out here, anybody, Big Top, anybody would be able to apply for it right. If they're going to expand and add jobs. And as long as it's a new tax, I'm okay with it.
Same as Mr. Faith said, that business model is what they need to present.
Yeah.
To the CCDA board, we need to be presented to the county commission so we can look at it and see what we would get and then what we would get if we gave the tax abatement. Yeah.
I'd like, and it may already be here, I'd like flexibility on the percentage of the tax abatement. You have that, you know, 60%, 50%, 80%, 90%. When it's a new business coming in, you usually go as high as you have to get them to come. So, for example, if you had a business coming in here and they were going to add $20 million domestically to the tax roll and create 100 jobs, I would think that to get that business to come, abate the taxes for a high percentage, you still get some revenue from them.
Mm-hmm.
And these tax abatements are only good for 10 years.
Well, we have to decide that.
Well, that's something we need to decide.
Well, you can make it anywhere in 22. 10 years is maximum.
You can make
1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever you want to do.
I'm going to depend a lot on TCDA to flesh out all the details of the prospects that they're working with and show us their plan and come up here. But the biggest headache I have is going back, too far back in the past. And if we can eliminate that, I think we can make everything else work out.
Yeah, well, now today there are discussions about the term limit. Then, you know, Scott says, well, that's up to the Board of County Commissioners to decide if it's 1, 2, or 3 years or 10 years. So they kind of...
You mean retroactive?
Not retroactive, but going forward, are we going to give it to them for 5 years, 3 years, and then what percent? And I think that's something that we're going to have to hash out.
Yeah.
Were you through,
Commissioner? Yeah, I don't mind giving a new business or people expanding, but I think those that's here have been paying taxes already. I think they felt it was fair to start with. It's not that you look, well, I could, you know, gag the county or jab at the county. I don't think that's fair. And I would want to see that happen, because if you give, if you go back 3 years on one, then the next will come back and say, I'll get 6 months before him. Come back and do it for me too. You know, it didn't look bad, it's only 6 months difference. But look at it real hard.
Florida Statutes has an ordinance, and I think we need to use that, at least start out with that as a model.
What?
And see what it says.
Do we have one, Florida Statute model?
Yeah, the reference is section 70-38 in your ordinance. We have looked up that and see what it says.
I'm sure I speak now. I don't see much wrong with this, frankly. You read through it and read through it carefully. There are some issues that bother me. The board has the flexibility whether we extend it up to 10 years or whatever it is. And the big thing that I don't care for is the caveat on page 3 or the section C, any business located in an enterprise zone. That's just wide open. But everything is laid out exactly what a business needs to be and do, and it has expansion of an existing business, and it has to have a plan and a certain number of people and not one or two people. I mean, you know, perhaps that could be tweaked, but the biggest thing I see and the problem I see is that the TCBA is not doing what is set out in the ordinance and what they need to do. They need to, I mean, it's very plain, you know, the application process, and that director over there is supposed to, now, do we have an application? Do they have an application that's made up that outlines all of these requirements?
Yes.
Okay, so make sure that all that's done, and then everything that you've spoken with earlier, the board has to know all that. What's the tax liability and the revenue and everything else?
You need to have all that information.
All that is coming to us, and it is in here. So I think we just need to make them follow the guidelines, and so that we can make an informed decision.
Some of these problems will bring it up and go away.
Well, I would hope so. I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anything in here from some concerns that have been mentioned. Perhaps the board in the past went beyond this. I don't know. You know, doing a retroactive thing. I don't know. I don't see anything in there that authorizes retroactive.
If you have anything in there that you'd like to see changed, I would suggest that you do that, each one of us.
Okay.
And then bring it back to the next, to another regular board meeting, or wait a whole month till we have a workshop.
Workshop. Yeah.
And then let's just everybody have it marked up the way what we feel, and then we can compare and
you, Conrad, when we're talking about.
Yeah. And so, and I'm sure he'll be here again. So. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Number 3, the board to discuss leasing of county property.
And this was a discussion continuation of the gentleman that wants to have the food truck at the airport. So we just discussed the issues with that, which were, the ordinance that we have, a temporary vendor that has to pay $300-something a day. I think the discussion we were hoping to enter into tonight is that person a temporary vendor, or he leases stock with us? Does that make him more of a permanent business owner? And what are your thoughts?
Well, I understood from what he told us, this was more of a permanent thing. He wanted that spot that he picked out. But he couldn't afford to pay $200 or $300 a day, and I can understand that. That's the story. The thing we got to watch out for is that we treat everybody the same.
That's what I'm trying to bring up.
Now, I believe it was Sonny C. who wanted to put a barbecue truck.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
If we made him jump through a bunch of hoops and made it impossible for him to be able to do it, I don't remember the detail, you probably do. So I'll use that as a comparison. If you're going to pick out this one person and say, we got this choice spot for a food truck, we'll lease it to you for $100 a month. Well, what about next week? You got five more food trucks that want that same spot. Mm-hmm. That's the only concern I have. I think this man was up front. He's an educated man. He had a good reputation. I haven't eaten any of his food, but I'm sure he's good.
That was my concern that I was going to bring up too. And he did want it exclusively. That was what I understood him to say. And so I thought about it then is, you know, you've got a lot of people that have, or several people that have food trucks, and you may have more because that's gaining popularity in communities, are having those food trucks. And I'm just very reluctant to let one person exclusively have it.
No property out there where you can have food truck row?
Yeah.
You can have four in a row?
Whatever, you know.
You want to have lunch? I don't want the one with barbecue today, I want the one with hamburger.
I think that's the problem. We lease space now. We lease community center space, we lease Port Cal Hall. You know, of course, just one time, birthday party or wedding or something like that. And we opened it up, certainly to everybody. You're right, this is more long term, you know. We're not going to make Park Capital Hall for 6 months to somebody to run a business owner. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I'm okay with renting it to whoever wants to put their food truck out there. We just have to come up with some sort of contract and a price, and what do y'all feel about that?
On the Park Capital property?
No, down there where he wants to put his.
Airport.
Apple.
But we need to make other spots available. Should there be some applicants come in?
Application.
if I may speak,
yeah.
At staff meeting this morning, we did have some staff that brought up some very plausible things that could happen if we open this door, because we currently do not allow vendors on any county properties. That includes the sports complex.
Mm-hmm.
Our boat ramps, our parks. And so the only concern they had, which I understand, was trying to manage expectations if you open this door. Then how do you say no when the ice cream truck wants to go to the sports complex during Page remembers.
You remember when the ladies ever wanted to sell ice cream in the sports complex?
Yes, sir.
If you allow this, I imagine Mr. Wendell will be right here.
Well, you don't want anybody to be competitive with our organization.
Yeah, that's the difference.
That's what you would do. You know, right. Anything that's not competitive with our organization.
The congestion at the boat ramp, you wouldn't have it there.
And that's a safety issue. So mm-hmm. We would have limited areas open, but my goodness, that'd be enough for seem like everybody.
I think the concern was just that it's all addressed at the same time, because we can anticipate that if space is leased at the airport, then this will open up the door for other opportunities. So I think the concern was, will you just, you know, are you just going to limit it to the airport, and can we justify that? So I think the request is more, let's take into consideration that this will open the door and
well, I think you consider all options, and if it's in an area that would create a safety hazard, then this board has to say no.
Yes.
But if it's in an area that there's no problem, and I really like this man. He was very nice, and mm-hmm. he seemed like he had a good product. And if somebody wants to have their little business, and I'm all for it. I am all for it. If we can help him and help anybody else to do the same thing, you know, I may want to open up a taco food truck or something.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding about that. But I mean, you know, everybody should have that opportunity.
If we decide to do this, do we need to identify spaces and open them up to?
Yeah, we have to mark them off.
Provide some kind of procedure that we advertise or offer up, or
Yeah, you need to.
Get out or who knows what.
Yeah, designate and mark off the spaces. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lot, whatever.
Yeah. I'm all for bringing in another source of revenue because it helps the citizens.
Well, let me say this. What about the restaurants association? Do we need to advertise that and see if we will have competition from the restaurants association? Do we have water, sewer, bathrooms, and all these facilities? Don't we need to have that in place before we do a whole lot of anything?
You know, something that we set up criteria that we have to look at.
Yeah, that's the thought. You run down there and, yeah, to the food truck, you get the food, then you run down to Taco Bell and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But isn't that Taco Bell's problem then?
No, it's, we created that problem. Taco Bell problem. Never.
If we tell Taco Bell you got to have a certain space, you know, for a certain dimension,
right,
and then it only can handle so many people sitting there. Mm-hmm. Then you let somebody go out there and have a food truck, you got 100 seats out there and he has no bathroom at all.
Yeah.
Or not even a facility to wash his hands.
Right.
But you know, if you look at Tallahassee, I mean, they have like, what is it, Food Truck Tuesday or Thursday or something.
Yeah.
And I wonder how they handle it. It'd be nice to look at other communities and they've already done it, so we don't need to recreate the wheel. Let's just see what other communities do.
It sounds like wonder to me, but it's just something we need to think about.
Yeah.
Because when you fill it up with restaurant owners here in this building right here, somebody's going to get some something to hurt for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come
all four of them.
All four of
them. All four restaurant owners.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have any, unfortunately.
Any other discussion?
For entrepreneurs.
Did you have something you wanted to say? Did you, I see you ran away.
I just wanted to clarify whether or not you're just focusing on this one individual or whether you want to like maybe bid it out or rotate a crowd across the county and they rotate spots every so often. I'm just trying to make it fair towards the business owner.
Yeah, well, this gentleman, though, he pretty much said, I want to be there.
I know, but...
And if we have enough space that other people that just want to be there, or you may have somebody say, look, I just want to do Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine.
Well, now, there is a food truck here in town on the level going down the
in private property, yeah. Smoke.
Yeah, the Livingston's.
Yeah, there is today. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they have rescues, do they?
No, I don't think Livingston's had rescue with that food.
And I don't know that it's been a problem. But then, we need to discuss
it any further. I wish we could help the service and the rescue.
Well, they have to have all the
license.
Okay.
So we
just
need
to
bring this back after you investigate it further.
Item number four is to discuss maintenance of historic sites.
I asked for this to be on. This is, y'all have this. You don't yet. I don't know if you've read about the Catastrophe Cemetery. And we've spoken about it before. It is, it was on Four Rivers land and they've now deeded it to Oakland Church. And, you know, it's a historical site. Our ordinance allows for the board to authorize county equipment and maintenance of cemeteries within the county and in the maintenance of certain search grounds within the county, provided that such church grounds are open to the public. There's also a Florida statute which you've got there.
That's special act. Just for that,
I'm sorry. This one also.
Just a special act for this county.
Uh-huh. Well, is that special act still valid? I mean, that statute's not even applicable anymore, so it had to be appealed or changed or something, wouldn't it?
It stays there
until they appeal it.
But no other county asked for this, so it's just only applicable to other counties.
Right. Well, I would guess, and some of the information that I gave to you, chapter 497, it's for your review. You can come back later. It's for abandoned cemeteries. This was initially an abandoned cemetery, the one at Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. I think you would call abandoned.
Yes.
So the county can not take ownership, but clean them up, maintain them for security and so forth. So it's already been done at Cabbage Grove. They've already addressed it and cleaned it up. What Oakland is not willing to maintain it and mow it.
Just regular mowing.
Just regular mowing. Probably won't need it until next year. It's clean right now when I looked at it. Yeah. So it's an interpretation of the ordinance that we have, whether or not that's...
this ordinance would apply to the Cabbage Grove Cemetery. The property has been given to the Oakland Baptist Church by four rivers. They're going to have the dedication this Sunday at the ongoing. I understand. At 145, if you want to go. And I've been asked by Brother Danny Lundy, you know, what my appetite was for keeping it regular mowing. Now, Oakland Church, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that church does its own mowing at the cemetery. You don't depend on the county to go out there because
They pay somebody. Cemetery and
so rather than have an added expense for that church taking it over the, you know, their board of deacons would be in charge of the cemetery, and that's our contact person. I don't see where it would be a great burden on the county to take over mowing a quarter of an acre three or four times during the summer. And that's about how big it is.
About a quarter of an acre.
0.27
That's just a little over a quarter of an acre. Take a push mower in 20 minutes and you got mowed.
Well, you know, they've worked out at Spring Hill Cemetery, and they had some people that was giving some money for that. And this is probably 2 acres out there.
Yeah.
And it was the first cemetery in the county, and there was trees out there beside the large pine tree.
Mm-hmm. Well, there have been a lot of
disrespect in. You know, you don't want to do one for one and don't do it for other.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for doing it for all. Spring Hill's got a committee. They need to tap into this same factor.
Okay.
And get assistance from the county to maintain the cemetery. Okay. Now, it's my understanding that this historic cemetery will not be open for new burials.
Yes.
I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And as far as people are handing up money, there's a number of people, including myself, who made a nice contribution to clear up the cemetery and to erect a fence. Mm-hmm. So if we have to, it's going to have to go through the church. It's going to become a church
yes.
property.
Yeah.
Just lately, let me ask you, how difficult would it be to add 1/4 of an acre cemetery to the 5 that we already maintain?
I don't know, is that difficult?
It wouldn't be much difficulty, would it?
We maintain 8.
What is the opinion from our attorney, though, since I'm not comfortable until we run this by Mr. Bishop to see if we're legal. If we're legal, I'm okay with it. But since it's not open to the public, and that's always been, since I've been here, the standard that we went by, I think we better get an opinion, don't you think?
Fine.
I think the issue with Spring Hill, when the chat was on the board, is that there's a lot of trees and all had to be removed. You're talking about makeups.
Yes.
And this cemetery down here was cleared and ready to be mowed, so that may make a difference.
No.
But that's not actually maintenance, that's...
Overhaul.
Here's what I would suggest, that y'all talk with Conrad, and then we can put it on the agenda if he has time to, you know, have an opinion, which I'm sure he will. And then at the next board meeting, then let's look at it, whatever he says, and then at that time we can vote on it. Perhaps, yes.
You could have things like a big oak die there, go falling down in the cemetery, and it would take some equipment to get it out of there. Somebody'd have to do that, throw it up, you know, and all of that. And that does happen.
Yeah.
You know, and storms and what have you. So, I mean, I'm all for doing it if it's legal, too.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to go. Conrad, tell us if it's legal.
And you've, in the meantime, you've got all...
It wouldn't take much time to know it would address.
But it'd do something that have to get corrected, please.
Okay, number five, the board should discuss capital expenditures for fiscal year 2018-2019.
This is really nothing new. This is in your budget for this year coming up, but we just wanted to go over one by one so you'll know what we'll be spending next year. There won't be any surprises. There won't be a new vehicle pop up out there that somebody will say, well, where did that come from? So if you give me just a few minutes tonight to go beyond an individual, it's a... On the first page, the county elections building, there's money set aside for voting machines, $57,332. There's going to be money set aside this year for...
You said voting machines?
Yes, sir. I don't know if those are lease payments or payments we have to make every year for voting equipment. County elections building, HVAC system repair, $5,000 is budgeted. There's $5,000 budgeted to paint this building this year. There is a mower budgeted for the county project management lawn mower. There's also a pickup truck budgeted, $18,099.
Who's showing a new pickup?
That is your special projects person.
Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel Quinn. In the county jail, there's $56,000 budgeted for a chiller. As the BCC portion on the pier reconstruction, $24,650. Pot one money, there's a county match on that. When we get that money rolling in, $11,145 is budgeted. Solid waste, you have some new containers. I don't see a number here, but $30,000 for containers. County extension, a telephone system budgeted $10,000. A county extension van, $25,000. A roof work, a new roof for the library, $85,000.
Hold on, can I ask you a question? Explain the van for county extension. We just bought a van.
Somebody donated some money.
Okay, they just got a van. So what
it was funny, I think we actually took that out. For some reason it's staying. It is in your budget.
This is a larger van. The van, this would replace the larger passenger van that they have. The van that was donated is a smaller van, and this would basically just replace the larger.
How many vans do they have out there? Because when I go out there, I see several. I wonder if they belong to them.
I believe there are three total with the one that's been retired.
Okay, so they got two fairly new ones.
No, ma'am. I think they have one fairly new one, and then the one they want to replace is the larger van that would hold more children.
They got a baby van and a middle van, and the larger van is the one they're surplusing.
Okay.
They do have two.
They have two that are in
one that was donated, and then the smaller one.
Yeah, it's a smaller van.
The telephone system here, $10,000. That sounds kind of...
Yeah, well, hold on just a second. On the van. So, have they given you something that shows their need for that?
I don't know. Why did you know when you go there?
And it's justified in your opinion?
What we had discussed during the budget workshops when we were facing such a shortfall was that if we wish to protect some of the general fund reserve or the 1 cent money, that the van and the telephone system, we would like to maybe wait until next year. They are in the budget, but we wanted to show you what's in the budget and get some feedback in case there is a decision. I don't know that we would recommend to run out in October and purchase these items.
Yeah, well, if it's not absolutely needed, and with the state of our funds right now, I'm just questioning if we should wait until next year, unless, I mean, they've just got to have it, then that's surely different.
There were actually several items that we thought maybe could wait a year. And the telephone system and the van were both identified.
Well, if there's any other ones that you feel like can wait, I'm just...
You know, let's put it off.
I'd say let's don't do that right now. So were there any that we've already discussed that we could put off?
Hanging outside.
The recycling containers, I believe, we thought maybe we could not purchase as many. We could... Ted, wasn't that one of the items that we felt like...
It was, I don't remember the number on that.
I believe that's, I want to say that's six, and we thought maybe we could replace three next year and just kind of space it out a little bit, so we could cut that in half to 15,000.
That's a good idea, to do it in increments, and that way it doesn't hit so hard, but yet we start going toward the goal of getting new, so we'll cut that to 15.
Right, and then we could put the three additional containers in the CIP for next year.
Okay, now how about the county project management pickup truck? Is that, where are we at with that? That needs to...
It's a pretty old one, 200,000 miles or more than that.
Yes. What we actually had thought we could do is, instead of Public Works getting two pickup trucks, maybe Special Projects could get one and Public Works could get the other one.
And we're also going to work with the Sheriff's Department. If they buy a pickup truck, they'll use the key one 3 or 4 years. It'll come to us in that period.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not public safety sensitive, but we break down the side of the road like it is for them to have a newer vehicle. So.
Okay. Is the roof at the library leaking?
It is new.
It's end of life.
That
is a worst case scenario on that bid. We did ask a professional roofer to help us with that cost. We do not think it will be that much, but the roof in the library is very complex. The way it's built, so that we can't just put, you know, add a metal roof on top of it. It's, if you'll look at it, it is very complex. So we realize that's a high quote. We are hoping that it's not that much.
Yeah, but it is essential though. Keep Beach Coastal Park for BCC match portion $21,400. Sure, that's a grant to match. New Hampton Springs Historical, you budgeted $20,000 to do those host sites. There's also $3,000 set aside for cameras for the park. Now the $25,000 batting cages and fencing, we feel like that can be postponed.
Could we do the batting cages and maybe do the fencing next year, split that so it doesn't hit us all at one time?
I believe that when that research was done, that was actually like a package deal. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm sure we could go back and research how that...
What does the other board members have to ask you on?
I don't know. Do you need these cages if you don't have fencing? I mean, it comes as a package deal, you think?
That's what we need to probably come back.
Oh, research, yes, a little more.
Yes.
Can I back up to one, Madam Chair?
Yes.
There's an item about the fourth one down from the top of the page. County Projects Man wants to buy a $9,000 mower. Is that a zero turn mower?
Yes. It sure is.
Yes.
It sure is. Well, let me correct me if I'm wrong. Last year, we bought a fancy pickup truck, heavy duty, and a trailer and two mowers for solid waste. And those mowers sit out there. And then I understand that to get your roll-off site mowed, that there's some arrangement that the solid waste director made with the sheriff, unbeknownst to me. and the inmates come out and do the mowing. Well, why does he need a big pickup truck, a trailer, and with two mowers and ample people out here, and he's going to farm it out to the sheriff, to pay the sheriff to come mow? It's not on my part.
My understanding was that he does have a small crew that will mow in between other projects. It just, for the particular site that you're referring to, the person who normally helps with the mowing has just been busy, and it, you know, he's called for a couple of weeks, and, you know, if it would stop raining, mowing wouldn't be such an issue, obviously. But I don't know that we could not ask.
I mean, you got two mowers sitting out there under a shelter in a trailer with a $40,000 F-350 pickup, and yet we got to pay $3,000 to the sheriff to buy a lawnmower gas to get his inmates out there to do mowing. That just does not make sense.
No, it doesn't. We need to change that.
So now, does that $3,000, does that apply to this year, or is that in next year's budget?
That would be in next year's budget as well.
What about this year?
It's in this year's budget. It's part of the solid waste budget.
So you buy equipment to do your mowing, and then you budget money and have mowing farmed out to the inmates. Right?
Are you suggesting that we try to swap some equipment around and to try that so it will be utilized?
Well, I mean, what good is it if you're going to spend $9,000 on a county project manager for a mower, and if you got one that's just like sitting out here doing nothing, why can't you, you know, take a look at it?
Yeah, that's a good idea. And that big
$3,000
350 truck, if you remember,
had to have a trailer, got full heavy equipment.
And we didn't know anything about it. Remember, I discussed that. I was not happy with that. Still am not happy with that.
And that's why we wanted to make you aware of what's in here.
Our chair?
Yes.
Have to wait my turn. The Keep Meats Coastal Park, $21,000. What's left to do there? Why is there a match in there? Is there no for that?
I believe that we are almost finished with that, with everything on that. I thought
some exercise equipment or yes. some kind of
and maybe a sidewalk and some maybe fencing or sidewalk that needs to be finished.
Isn't that a 10-year project?
I believe so. Good page.
I don't have but one page.
Nobody got the back page?
No, I
didn't get the back.
There are more from that.
No, I don't have the back here. Cut back.
What do you need to say?
So we're going to remove the $9,000
here? Well, you're not removing it. We're just making you aware of it. If you don't want to suspend it, you'll just sit there.
Your suggestion is to move that $9,000, take that out, and use the mowers that we already have?
Well, I'd like to put the staff to investigate if that's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Mombo may justify why he needs to keep those two under the shelter.
Yeah, we're not
saying. Sure, you can do that. Don't wear them out.
Yeah, don't worry, they won't wear out. That's right. Don't you need all the hoses off them?
Now, where are these mowers kept? You say they're under the shelter.
Out on 98, isn't that where he stores and put out there? On 98 on the right.
Is that there, a county project building?
About this time of day, you'll see there's a fleet of
vehicles.
You
can
take.
Go ahead.
You'd think That's the whole county government out there. It's like you 10 trucks and 15 cars. I don't know why you need all that free stuff just to run a little solid waste up through.
Commissioner Moody.
I'd like to know who brought this up that we needed this new mower if we already got one. I'd like to.
Who gave the request?
It was Special Project, and we did. I did not know at the time that we maybe had surplus mowers, and I'm sure he did not either.
Who was Special Project?
Daniel.
He's the one that, excuse me, he's the one that mows the churches and the cemeteries and the boat ramps and with our inmate crew. The state inmate crew.
Correct. And we just were not aware that we possibly had surplus equipment. He would not. Just for the board's information, this sheet, in an attempt to balance the budget in our funds other than our general fund, we offset some of the capital with the 1 cent funding, and that was so we could balance the budget. So this page is titled 1 cent transfer. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. We did try to utilize that 1 cent money as much as we could to help balance the funds in our other areas.
So that, we can go down this side and I do those more containers on the back page. But anyway, at the top of the page, the lease payment for fire truck, $74,020. An outside shower for animal control, $2,000.
What's that? Fencing.
We did recommend that those two be removed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take out what?
The outside shower and the fencing.
Remove, okay.
Now, Mike, we're really not removing from your budget, you just won't spend it. Because your budget's not set, correct?
You say this is the one for sale tax.
Right, it is.
Oh, you can remove that?
We can remove it after October if the board wishes, or we can just not spend it.
Okay.
We can wait and see.
Okay, all right.
I was reading enough that I heard bathroom. What bathroom are we talking about?
Shower and animal control.
For animal control.
The shower. Don't they need a shower? If they get dog bit or dog poop on the arm?
I'm not.
They don't have a water hose?
Probably didn't work.
They call it that.
Water hose. Oh.
Okay. All right. In fact, fencing for animal control, move on down, solid waste truck, $180,000. Fencing for the Shady Grove roll-off site,
$30,000. I don't know what fencing costs, but $30,000 for that little area seems like a lot.
That's way too much.
Have we got more than one quote?
This is just an estimate. So, we did not obtain a quote. This happened in May when we were preparing our budget request, way before we realized we would be having such a shortfall. So that's why some of these requests seem exorbitant. It was before we realized we would be balancing with reserves and everything that we just went through.
Okay, well, I do not want to spend $30,000 on a fence.
Yes, ma'am.
And there are more containers up in the new book, yes, since we're cutting containers on the other page.
Do we have to have all of those?
No.
And how many, are we going to cut those out and we're just going to do three at a time or what?
I think our recommendation was to cut all those, to cut the containers in half. And we could do the same with the compactors because there was a compactor this year that was not purchased that we've already asked to be moved into next fiscal year. It's $21,000. Mm-hmm. So I believe we could just have one compactor instead of two.
I hope you got a compactor for Blue Springs Lake.
That is the one.
That one rusty in.
That's the one.
You know, you can get cut off the 10 there and then.
We just could not get it ordered this year before the end of the fiscal year, but it should be ordered in October, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Out of curiosity, we have $5,000 budgeted for the new county elections building HVAC system. Mm-hmm. Was that a new system that would probably be under warranty?
No, sir, I believe that's just upgrades to the current system, from what I understand. We need to make some improvements to it, from what I understand, but that would not be a new system.
Building is the same old wire.
Well, not a new building.
Yeah, we rebuilt that one. We rebuilt it.
The new building got one. The old building might not have one, but the new building got it.
Yeah, with the storage.
Well, they knocked up one county election building anymore.
Storage in the back.
Storage in the.
Storage in the back. It's got a separate air conditioner.
Yes.
It's the new.
It's the new.
Up front.
Is the old system.
The old system, that needs $5,000 for an upgrade.
Apparently.
It's a remodel building. All right, and then moving on down. Two pickup trucks for the road department. You said we're cutting one of those. Road department with a small tractor, $19,459. A bat wing mower, $12,268. And then there is annual lease payments for the motor graders, $144,000.
Our road department definitely needs a grapple truck, similar to what the city has, so they can go down the road when you got a big tree in the road. And rather than take a crew of 10 men, 5 chainsaws, you can get by with one man and cut it up. You reach over to the side of the grapple, pick up the limb or the dead deer carcass and throw it in the back.
1 cent.
Yes, we definitely need that.
1 cent sales money is perfect.
1 cent sales tax money, if we got any, I'll support that.
Would you like to add up the cuts that we made and see if we can?
Yeah, let's do that. And my number one priority, if we can add up enough cuts, is to get this very much needed piece of equipment.
Well, what they department. Is they price in the past is anywhere from 160 to 180,000, but they are really useful.
Well, if we shop around, we might find a very good unit.
Good.
One that's going to demonstrate or something.
So we'll total up.
Total that out, and then somebody in another workshop tell us if we found enough money to do this.
Sure.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and at number 7, where I've got down here board to discuss lighting at Forest Capital High. I was out there and I saw you out there, mm-hmm. Not before that. We didn't talk.
We didn't talk. I didn't speak.
We didn't speak to each other. But
I thought you heard. I got on out there.
I didn't even know you were there till the end. But anyhow, mm-hmm. When we walked out of there, it was black dark. We could not. We had to walk down that road with holes all in it to get to our car. And I'm holding on to my husband. Because I don't know if I'm going to step in a hole or what. You could not see. We could barely see our car. Other people were talking about it. And this is something that is a liability for us. This is not a convenience. This is going to be a liability. We've already been sued by somebody out there that stepped in a hole. And I feel like this is something that really doesn't need to wait.
We've actually looked at this issue before, and that's what we just passed out. Kenneth was in discussions with Duke Energy. Maybe the most important thing is look at the back page and see where the lighting plan was positioned.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
Cheating you?
I'm sorry. I just laid it right in front of you.
All right. They recommended to get these lights. Would be $14,000 to $15,000 initially to put them in, and then of course there is a monthly payment that I think we were discussing. Time could be, but a monthly payment we possibly could come out of TDC funds, and I think it's $1,100 a month.
Is that something that could be controlled, and there's not an event going on out there since the park, I guess, is closed for a bit dark. If there's not an event, why do we need, we couldn't turn them off though, because it's like the street lights, right?
You know, I don't know if we could work on that, the sensor.
You may not know their security. Okay. You need one light there.
But if you look at the diagram, there were some out in the areas where they set those events up.
Well, if we can find, what was it, $14,000?
That's the installment initial.
Yes.
Yeah, then after that, about
$1,100 a month, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you know, one lawsuit and somebody getting hurt.
Why, Madam Chair, why don't we look at purchasing them ourselves and foregoing that $1,100 a month?
That's fine too. We just need lights from somewhere.
Right.
I agree. Need Kenneth to probably look at that. See what we can say.
You hear that? Yeah.
Have Kenneth look at it.
Have Kenneth look at it and see what it costs. If we bought some lighting fixtures similar to these and tie it into our panel box, that way we don't have a separate $1,100 light bill.
Every time at an event, we have to take our light towers out there and everything. Yeah. They can't see anything. Yeah. It's a long overdue.
Sports complex, you quick switch about 11 o'clock.
Right. And at some point in time, we don't have to do it now, but we need to seriously think about resurfacing that road to get in there, because I'm scared to death to walk on that road. And you've got a lot of older people. I'm talking about older
people. People like me.
Yes, I
have. I mean, it needs to be, even if we had to do milling, something needs to happen out there.
They've been taking a goal out there, periodically, you know. They've been putting them patches in there, but it needs completely redoing.
It does, and it's not that long of a road, and, you know, if it came down to it, maybe we could all pitch in if we're doing anything left of our road money if we had to.
Let me get Kenneth to get a price on it. Okay. At least we know what we're talking about. Okay. But you're right, yes. You're right. Okay.
Oh, we're going to park a couple of halls. I'll ask Ms. Spiegel and you, Ted. What happened to those nice, thick, 16-foot, 2x12 boards that were seated?
They're in storage. Do you know where they're in storage?
You know, I don't know.
The city has.
I do.
City does not have anymore.
Don Taylor had found somewhere. Now, where are they?
They're out at the old hospital property. There was a building out there that we were able to use.
We don't want any of those to go missing.
The city wanted to move, so we had to put them somewhere.
Yeah, because, you know.
If we're not going to use them, I say let's sell them. I bought a 16-foot, 1 inch and a half, 2x12, 3x12, 2 inches. I bought one the other day, it was $36, one, and it must be $200 or $300 in them things.
No, but the plan was to take those and to, I think, split them, and then in the lobby to do, shiplap. There's something like shiplap in that one. We've got something that is old, it's part of that building, and it would be there forever. So that was what we were talking about doing with them.
We don't want them to be in a leaky shed and rock me. I mean, I haven't seen that.
My understanding is they're in a safe place. We moved them last December, I think. And we utilized an inmate crew, and there's also storage space available at the road department once the supervisor of elections moved. So we have two places that they can
move. Soon wear out those boards moving.
Well, we didn't want to give them away. We wanted to save them, so.
I need a copy. Me make some nice boards with it. Dream on.
You don't want
them. Don't want them to do it. Yes. I think they are pressure free.
Okay, anything else on the capital expenditures?
Okay,
number six. The board to discuss the proposed sale of the old hospital.
Yeah, this is a simpler item. We've all in agreement to sell the old hospital, but Conrad directed a survey to be done. Kim felt like generally a survey is an expense that the buyer incurs, whether he wants one or not. So just want to bring that to you tonight, what your thoughts were about. Do we want to try to get the survey before we market the property, or let the survey be the buyer's responsibility? and us just develop a.
Child's responsibility, if that's what our attorney said.
No, that's, your attorney said do a survey.
Well, I don't.
The attorney said have a survey.
Okay.
Kent is of a different opinion than that.
I'm of the opinion, well, do the survey first.
I think.
And then when the buyer buys it, and he's going to pay us $10,000, he can survey $500, he pays us $10,500.
That'd be fine. We need to get surveyed up front, and they.
So we know what we're saying.
When we show it, we can show him the comment.
I say that.
That's what he can't come back, say, well, I caught that building over at 1 minute.
That's right. Yeah, that, I would agree with that, and there was some building y'all wanted to keep, so therefore that's why the survey of a corner of that land that y'all wanted to keep.
Well, we've got our storehouse, I know that we want to.
And that's why y'all are talking about getting a survey.
Yes. Okay. Let's do a survey.
Okay. All right. That's great.
Shouldn't be all that.
He was a strong, anyway, this stuff.
Okay. We've already talked about number seven, number eight, the warrant to discuss the Johnson Strickland Firehouse, during the primary election. I know it started storming that day, and people were stuck. I mean, we had all back in the back and on the side. People were stuck, so we've got a general election coming up on November the 6th, and I need some suggestions of what we can do so that our voters don't get stuck.
When we talked about staff, and the fire chief said that's in back of the building, people should drive around, and I think the septic tank's back there.
If you'll look at, hey,
for
the last two pages in your packet, you'll see where it looks, where we think maybe people were getting stuck was behind.
It was on right on that corner right there between J.C. Kemp's house and right where you're seeing it right here, all on that side. If you're facing the firehouse,
okay.
I believe it was on the left-hand side because I saw it.
And then you can see where maybe someone got stuck near the handicap parking sign. So his suggestion. Of course, you know, it was pouring that day.
It was.
But
it was.
He felt like that should be blocked off anyway, so people wouldn't drive back there. Do you feel like there would be adequate parking if people did not park in the back for an election?
It was a pretty good crowd there when I come by. They could just mill part of that right there, and it would make it. No matter if it rained or not, they could come and go there. That's all we need.
I did that by that.
They just could mill that, a lot of loads milling around there, thread it, and be done with that. And milling lately has been a little cheaper than it has been in the past. You know, so.
So around the back is where you think it should be milled, or?
When the people have been getting stuck.
On this spot, you'd go now, okay. A couple of people were stuck.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty obvious.
If you worry about the deputy tank, we just need to go ahead and put some focal boards up there and paint them yellow right there where anybody can pull up on that deputy tank.
That's what we used to do.
Okay.
He said, awesome.
Okay. Good. Then I added number nine, bid packages. I don't know what kind of policy or procedure we have concerning bid packages, but, you know, lately, or several times since I've been on this board, we've only had one bid to come in. And then once we open up that one bid, then they don't want you to go for more bids because they feel like they're in an unfair position because everybody knows what their bid is. I've thought about this a lot, and I would like to suggest that maybe if we only get one bid, not to open it up and then go back out and see if we can get more. Is there any way when you get a bid, you have to open it with a certain time, or can you hold it?
No, I think in your advertisement, or it should be, that the board has the right to reject all of them. Or if you don't get one, you could just not accept it and re-advertise without opening it and return that bid to somebody else in case they wanted the bid the next time.
Well, I feel certain that we've been stuck.
See, I mean, some of your housing projects, it's hard to get somebody locally to do that.
Yeah, well, I just think that we should try to get more than one bid, because I think that there's times we've been gouged, and once we've opened that one bid, then there we are. So, does everybody, how do y'all feel about that?
It sounds like more decision, if I'm sober.
What you could do is find your bid policy that would say that at any time that you receive just one bid, it would be automatically.
Automatically, it would be set.
And re-advertise.
Send back on open, and re-advertise. And then the second time, if you only get one bid, then what we gonna do?
Well, second go around, if nobody else bids, then, you know, if you wanna do the project, you're gonna take that one.
But we have the right to reject it if we.
Well, we can.
But that's like she said, if you reject it, you don't open it, that puts that amount of that bid out for everybody.
And it's not fair.
Even though you think it's really high, you know?
Yeah.
But how can you be advertised second time?
I think if y'all had one bid, this is second time around, and you thought it was really high, just reject it and direct county staff to negotiate with a builder or whatever it is, and you don't have to bid everything out, do you?
I think your bid policy, if it's over 20,000, 35, I believe.
It's over 25, you got the bid.
Might be 35.
Do you only advertise local on your bids?
Yes, if in the local paper.
But that's not the only place we advertise.
No, and the local paper also, when you put a legal, it goes up on a statewide website, we post it there, and all the contractors search the website.
Okay, yeah, and I think you would get more.
That'd get called.
I'd like to see us, and I don't know, I do not know what kind of effort is put into making sure that our local contractors know. I know on a recent project, I've heard that some of the locals said they didn't know anything about it, and you know, it's in the paper, but I'm just wondering if we should take that extra step, and perhaps if we have the names of the contractors, send them a letter and tell them that we've got this project and we'd sure love to see you bid on it, because I know there's times when out-of-town people have been the only ones to submit a bid, and they got the job. And I'd like to see it go to our locals, and I can't imagine that all the people that we have in Taylor County, that somebody wouldn't want the work.
They have, that's come up before, and you know, it was in the paper every time. One time I'm questioning if it's in the paper or not, it was in the paper. I think there's an email list that goes out too, isn't there, Ted? He puts out email list all the local contractors, and for some reason, they get it and don't comply, or don't care. I mean, there's something there that goes on with that, I don't know. But I have asked that question before, and they did get it. I've asked them, said, did you get an email? Yeah, well, we just weren't interested in bidding on it, you know?
Well, I know some of them said they didn't know about it, but I just think we need to ensure that our local contractors, that they know. Then if they don't know it, yeah, that's their decision then.
Yeah.
Some of them, and we have a process that go through, some of them I've heard they find it too cumbersome. And these are the smaller, you know, contractors that certainly could do the job, and they don't have support staff and so forth. So, but there's nothing we can do about that. There's procedures we have to go through.
Now we have a 5% local vendor preference.
Right.
If we made that 10%, that would be making it a little more attractive for local vendors.
A little more incentive.
A little more incentive if you want to do it.
I'm absolutely fine with that. Now, how come, anyway, the process is the process and it can't be made any more friendly? Easier for people to,
you know, the each department does their own specs. They just send it up.
Yeah, but then,
if you're talking about the people have complained that it's too cumbersome.
They have to, you know, present their insurance, and I mean, there's a long list of checkoffs that they have to do. And, you know, the board is saying, we had one last year with burning the debris, and they didn't follow all those guidelines because it was local, we took it. So,
okay.
And it's just because they don't have support staff.
Okay.
A checkoff list is what turns a lot of them around.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta know their insurance.
Right, exactly.
We have to have it done.
So we don't wanna cut short the requirement. Y'all have another policy that we had been sued over one bid that was received about 5 minutes after the deadline. And you don't ever want to get in that again. So if they come to my office, the board's minutes say that I'm gonna reject it if it's 1 minute after 4 o'clock. If that's the time and that. And you've done that, and I think that's what you have to do. Okay, that completes the, what's on the agenda. Does anybody else have anything to discuss?
I do.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
I saw his mouth about to move, and I beat him to it. We talked about the mowers and so forth, and you know, the county has a big problem with Department of Corrections. We have two pay crews, one at Sports Complex and one that is with our projects manager. And they can't get our projects done because they're mowing and those kind of things. Cleaning bathrooms at Hudson Park and whatever. We used to get, you know, two free crews, the city got free crews, and I think their reasoning was at DOC was, you know, that they needed more staff and first one thing or another. But I think it's time to move on up the chain beyond the local DOC and perhaps reach out to Tallahassee if county administrator or somebody could to try to, you know, just tell them the need. I mean, it's, we have a trailer and a van and, you know, stuff waiting on them. And they need to, we need some projects to do. One of them, for instance, is the Keaton Beach Firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're to a point where we're never going to get that roof fixed if we wait on the state inmate crew to do it for us. Perhaps it needs to be contracted out.
And I believe Dan is obtaining quotes for
quotes
that.
Quotes, good.
Yes, and then we have a plan for the interior work that needs to be done.
Good.
We just, during mowing season, that's, I mean, especially with the rain we've gotten this year, it is very difficult to get anything else done.
But if I may, the firehouse in Keaton is to the point where they are having to take raincoats and cover up the electronics in the fire trucks to
really?
Be set up. If they don't, it will blow out the electronics in the trucks.
There is funding in next year's budget to do the repairs.
So there's also $8,000 from
I think it's closer to 9,500.
So there's no need to wait. That money's there.
But you're going to blow up a $100,000-$200,000 truck because of the roof leaking. You're going to blow up the electronics out of
it. And that's why the chief is obtaining quotes.
Right.
To get that done.
That's a metal roof, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with it?
Leaks.
One of the problems with the Department of Corrections, they're losing employees so fast because of what's going on out there. The warden came to the board about several months ago, told you he was down 60 employees out there. And the employees that they've got, they need to help guard the people who are at prison. So until they can increase their employees, and people scared away from that, it's hard to get somebody to go to corrections training. It's very hard.
Because of the salary?
No.
Because of the stress and the...
They're offered incentive packages and everything.
Yeah.
And going to Tallahassee, I don't think it'll do you any good because they just don't have a staff that would do that.
Well, let's verify that, please, if it's still that way.
They changed their shifts. I think people are working 12-hour shifts. They're 8 hours plus four overtime. And the other one's coming in 4 hours over. They got a real situation. You got anything else?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Moody?
I wanted to give y'all a little bit of input on what I've been doing. I've got constituents that you can't you can pull up to the mailbox, but there's no way a fire truck or an ambulance could go down that road and get out. So what I've been doing is taking fire chief and flagging another route around another road that you can go around.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was doing this afternoon and run late doing that. But you need to tell to carry the fire chief and say, the mailbox is here, but you can't turn here. They call 911 in the middle of the night, they're going to go to that mailbox.
Right.
That's where they think they're going. So the people need to know the route that you flag where they get to the house. And then when they call 911, they need to say, go to the flagging on the next road to the east, or go two roads down and you'll see them on it flagging, and that's where you need it. That's what I've done for some people. I took my four-wheeler this afternoon. I couldn't take a truck in there and flag the route. And I'm going to show it to the fire chief tomorrow. And I've already done me and him did one the other day. These folks cut a lane through a big scrub just to be able to get to their house. And they didn't cut it quite wide enough for a fire truck to get in or out. And there's too many turns in the road, but we're going to work in that direction. Got to get it where they, you know, and there's some elderly people in there, you know, and children. So if y'all got any situations like that, our chief will work with you. He'll flag the routes and then tell the people when they call 911 for a fire or ambulance what to tell them. You know? I just had to give y'all that information.
Thank you. Anybody else got anything? Any commissioner?
No comments.
Anybody from the public? Yes, ma'am.
I come up here so you might have a chance, please.
Swelling, Beach. I just have a couple questions on the Hossack Perry apartments just as we come into Taylor County.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at on that project? Do you guys know?
Yes.
What is the question?
On the apartments that are coming,
the new apartments,
it's still in the works.
Still in the works?
Yeah. It's going on. It's
Are we going to be carrying a bond for that?
No.
Okay. Has the Taylor County Development Authority actually investigated Perry Prospect or Prospect Apartments?
For that one.
For who the individual are?
I believe they have, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You know the ex-CEO has been charged with conspiracy, correct?
I don't know anything about that.
Well, the thing about these businesses that we've been bringing in here lately, Bionitrogen, Biomass, and Prospect Perry, are Sarah telling Taylor County Development Authority to do a little bit more research on who we're bringing in? Because obviously they haven't. We have a lien for $65,000. Stadium. So if this company is supposed to be bringing in businesses, it's been going on for a year and 9 months. Where's the business?
Okay, well, to what I understand, this is a private investor,
mm-hmm.
and if he's using his own money and he's putting that up and getting his own financing and all, then I don't see the county doesn't have anything to do with that. So far, we have no money in it.
Besides giving a 75% abatement tax?
That's after you get it.
After bill.
So we already approved it.
Yeah, well, if they come, but it's not happening yet. If they come, then yes, we're willing to give them 5% because that's tax money we don't have already.
I want to make sure that we're not putting any money into
something
that could be.
We're not.
It's private investment.
Okay, because just like Biomass, we gave a $100,000 incentive and it's not in here yet.
That's right. But this apartment, though, is doesn't fall into that category. We're just getting no money. But we are going to give them a tax abatement when they come.
Okay.
You're going to meet all those criteria.
Right, of course.
And that's what I want to make sure, because I don't care what they do, if they're charged with conspiracy, as long as our tax dollars, I'm not getting involved in that chaos.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Okay. That's what I want to make sure.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I still have a public asking me, Mr. McGee, if your family has moved permanently to Perry.
They have not.
They've not?
No.
And is it your plan to
wait until the end of December to bring them?
If my plan to finish baiting my house, so they can't move.
Okay, so we're going on a 2-year in January, and, you know, the contract, we all know what the contract said, and the public is asking me, and I do not know the answer to that question, so that's why I ask.
Yeah, I'm a homeowner at 206 Dollarwood Way. I don't understand why I'm having to explain all this in a public forum. I'd be happy to meet with you.
But it's public, people asking about it, so there's nothing to hide.
I bought a house at 206 Dollarwood Way under foreclosure situation. It needs a lot of work. It needs window replacement. My family doesn't want to move in because the windows are not functioning. And I need some doors. I could use those long 2x12s to build some doors. So that's the situation.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions?
I've looked at the house and I know exactly what you're talking about. It does need a lot of repairs. I wouldn't want my young daughter living in that house right now either. I'd get the window fixed, the door fixed, and get all that shrubbery cleaned up. And then I would want them to stay there full time.
Right, but it goes back to the basics. It goes back to the basics and the contract that we began with, and whether you buy a house that's ready to move into, or you buy a house that's going to delay something. I mean,
actually, the contract is between myself and the Board of County Commissioners for employment.
Say again?
The contract is between myself and the Board of County Commissioners for employment.
Yeah.
It's not with my family.
I think that
there's a clause in there about
you. The thing is that you use your $4,000 moving expense upon you and your family moving to Perry. That's what we're doing.
Yes, but not an employment contract, though.
It is an employment contract.
Well, I mean, there's no condition. I mean, I work with Board of County Commissioners myself.
And you didn't have a daily time limit on that, neither. We might want to put one on in the future, but there's nothing says. He said he was going to move here and get a house. We didn't have to, but you got to do it in 90 days.
Well, I have to live in the county.
That's right. You've been living in the county the whole time.
Yes, I have.
And I know where you've been staying at over there. I haven't been in there since far before you were staying, but I know that you've been here. And that was, I'm not throwing it off at all. What I'm saying is, I think Mr. Lakey's been doing what he told me that. I mean, I feel comfortable with it. What you in the direction you pulled me out doing and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's just that we, you know, we're going up on the 2 years where we decided what we're gonna do. If we're gonna, you know, if this is gonna be a permanent position or not. And the contract here, real close to 2 years, has not been fulfilled. Now, is it okay to wait till the 23rd month? I mean, yeah, but the public is asking me. That's
well,
the reason I
have a question for me too. And I wrote one up by where you apartment you're staying, you know, and set up where staying in the truck, you know.
So if you'd like to discuss my apartment contract, we can.
Say again?
If you'd like to discuss my continuation apartment contract, we can.
I think that the plan of the biggest issue is that the contract says that he gets the $4,000 moving expense upon him and his family moving to Perry County. I think that's the biggest issue.
Yes.
And he got that last year before that.
Mm-hmm.
He got it in 3-4 months, May. He got it in May, she's 16, I think it's
17.
No, it was 17.
17.
17.
Yeah.
Okay.
The previous administrator, or maybe go back to Zach Brown, there was a clause in his contract with the county that if we had an election, and if we had a new board member elected, that you couldn't terminate without a penalty within a year. Is that part of your contract?
I have a severance package, yes.
Pardon?
I have a severance package.
That's in a severance package?
I have a separate package. I'm not sure that clause is in
there. I don't know if the clause is in your contract or not. I'd have to reread it. I need a copy. I can't keep up with all these paperwork. Man, it's covered my house. I kept them all, but I need a copy to reread your contract. And at the end of the 2-year period, then if the board's satisfied with your performance, we can just extend the contract. If we're not satisfied with your performance, and you didn't have a contract, I don't know. You don't get paid, you could.
Well, if you don't extend the contract, then I guess I'm no longer employed.
That's right, you're no longer employed. Yeah. Whatever the majority of the board decides, this is the way I'll go. There are no perfect county administrators.
Let me say this.
And there are no perfect county commissioners.
I know that's right. Looks like since I've been on this board, we have had a trouble from personalities to everything else that can happen. I applaud those two people out there that's working. We ask things of them that I think we shouldn't ask. We ask things of them that we need to know. We don't know until somebody hit it with us, and then we hit them cold turkey. And when they don't have an answer, we look at them at all. My hat off to you. Both of us. Now, I have worked for people, worked 50 years. I worked for some good ones, and I worked with some had compassion and could understand, some that wasn't. And anyway, whoever you work for, you do the best you can and do the best you can. That's all you can do. Now, as far as the public will ask about you and your family, and I tell them, Buckeye's the biggest employer in town. They don't make their managers stay in town. You know, and then I asked the reason why. They said, well, we want to be near a more cultural center where we can have this and that.